This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 999 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eshbaugh, Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. We're back on our BS. We're on the road. We got the remote podcast equipment. We're all safe and socially distanced, and we're at Deep River Brewing today. Paul Auclair is here. What's up, Paul?
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Well, actually, thank you for having us over.
Don't mind the heat in here. It's normally like this unless we have the AC on, but I guess no one thought you guys were important enough to turn it on.
It's okay.
Sorry about
that. It's okay. It's okay. But I think Eshbaugh is most excited because we get to drink other people's beer.
Yes. Very, very happy about that. I was looking forward to a Limetown the entire way over here.
That's the first thing I went to because I have not had the Limetown. No. Originally, I gravitated toward the Waterman and Lager because it's perfect for this time of the year, but I had not tried the Limetown Lager, which is light. So what is the calorie count on this bad boy?
It's actually just a shade over 100.
Okay.
Last time we checked it, since it's a light lager, we have to check it periodically, and we're right at 105 right now for that.
This beer is not fair in how easy it is to drink. Like, I'm already ready for number two.
Yeah, and we made the decision to go to 12-ounce cans on this when we package it. I'm almost thinking we need to do like a 19.2 can with this in it or something.
Well, but it makes sense because you're 105 calories per 12-ounce.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to keep it. Regular, right?
In 12-ounce can, I mean, you can drink it fast enough where it doesn't get warm and, yeah. On a 90-degree day, so there's
at
that
at the end
too.
Of the day, you can say you drink 24 of them.
True.
Right?
True.
I mean,
yeah, and in a 19.2, I mean,
drink
if you
16
did that,
or whatever.
You probably couldn't say anything at that point.
Yeah.
That's for
yeah.
sure.
So let's get the difficult part of the conversation out of the way first. How have things been in the last 2 months, as everybody's been dealing with stay-at-home orders, various phases, the ability to only have X amount of capacity at your place, and people buying differently?
I'm not going to lie, it's been a challenge, and I'm sure, Adam, you can kind of attest to this too. We have, we kind of pivoted our model quite a bit over the past few months, and then kind of, through that, that framework that we put together in the trash and kind of moved in a different direction. I mean, we did drive through for a period of time.
Okay.
That worked really well. And I think, us owning the building, us having a large parking lot made the queuing of traffic for people coming in to get beer to go very easy and very effective. I know a lot of other breweries don't have that opportunity, but it definitely helped us. We've obviously, if you can look around, we've put all the measures in place from DDHS that they've kind of put out there for all the different restaurants, and we've really tried to we've measured all our tables out, met with the local fire inspector to make sure that we're doing things right and our occupancy is what our occupancy is, because again, I think we want to get through this just like everybody else. We want to get to the other side and hopefully have a big festival or something like that where we can all be back to normal someday.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh yeah. It's definitely one of those things. I mean, we never thought we'd have to deal with as a company, and it's a challenge. I mean, we had a lot of beer kegs in the cooler that we honestly didn't know what we were going to do. We thought we were going to dump a bunch of them out, and we did in fact dump a bunch out that at some point you just got to make a call. It's a really painful call.
Yep.
But we had to do that. We did a big keg sale. Mm-hmm. and we bought a bunch of party pumps for folks, and people actually came out in droves to get kegs. Those two kegs that were just brought back behind us there. I think that was the some of the ones that were sold at discount too. So
okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense. If you're going to be stuck at home, you're going to do your due diligence. You could buy a bunch of cans or bottles, or you can just buy one of these bad boys and hang out for a bit.
Yeah.
A party pump.
Well, the irony of a party pump is right. You couldn't have a party for a long time.
You can't, but at the same time, it's been so long since I've hooked one of those up. Is that like riding a bike?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and there's, we got so much technology at our fingertips with our phones these days. I mean, you can pretty much do, I could rebuild a diesel engine off my phone probably if I really wanted to.
That's true. I mean, I just installed a zip line and had to Cuban engineer a platform so the kids can climb consistently off the tree. You can really find just about every tutorial online right now.
Did you consult with OSHA on that?
No. In fact, the mistake was to I believe I have the zip line at about an 8% grade.
Oh, boy.
So if any other kids want to come over to the house and ride the zip line, they're going to have to sign a waiver at this point.
Put a mattress down there at the bottom.
I saw one on the side of I-40 today coming out here. So
yeah, just go grab it.
No, you put the mattress at the top because they're probably going to fall as soon as they grab and start to go down. I told you about the one.
No, there's a seat.
Oh, there's a seat?
Yeah, we got a seat on it.
Oh, you went next level.
Oh, yeah. Come on
I told you the one I built when I was a kid between the pecan trees on the farm.
No.
It was just it was a galvanized pipe
on
a cable.
What I'm going to have to do is buy a bunch of mulch to put at the bottom so that the kids have
a landing
spot.
What you might want to do is get an umbrella policy for your house if you don't have
one. Yeah, that's true, too.
Handbrake, maybe? Handbrake?
Right now, there's a spring brake. I also put a pool noodle in there to start, you know, slowing things down. Thought about bungee cords, too. But right now, I'm going to have to lower... I'm going to have to lower the starting point by about a foot to see what happens.
Those bungee cords can be an awfully painful backfire.
Yeah, they can. They can snap on you, and next thing you know, you got problems.
Yeah,
but that's a hold my beer moment.
I understand. Good for you.
Because I tried that over the weekend, because you have to test it, right? You need the adult supervision first. So I tested the thing, and I bruised my hand already. So it was quite the adventure on the first go-around. But the kids are on it. They're enjoying it.
I didn't have a hold my beer moment yesterday, but before Paul and... Adam got here, I told you, I fell yesterday.
Right.
On some wet grass. If anyone had a security...
I'm worried about you because you're old, so when old people
If they'd had a security camera close enough
check to check that man's hip.
To pick that up, I'm telling you, as I am in the process of falling, if you've ever seen Eddie Murphy Delirious when Aunt Bunny falls down the steps, that's how I felt. I'm like, I'm feeling everything that's getting twisted and turned.
Oh, no.
And I'm hearing it, and I'm like, I hope nobody's watching this. And there was one little kid that saw it. And he came running over. Hey, mister, you okay? So it was great. But, yeah, it didn't feel good. Still doesn't.
It's kind of like Ed Bargey used to say. I don't know if you remember Ed Bargey, famous motorcycle guy, and he used to race motorcycles up at VIR. Oh,
but only if you let me.
he used to say old people are like glass, young people are like rubber, and they skip a little bit better than us.
That's exactly right. Got to know how to roll.
There you go.
Well, back to beer.
Back to beer.
You said the theme of the beer industry in 2020, at least the first half of 2020, because we all know the second half is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's started out like garbage. But you said the word pivot, and that has been the theme of every brewery I know. No matter if you're a brew pub or a production facility, at some point, like you've been forced to kind of look at your plan and figure out how you're going to change that.
Right. At some point, it's not all about volume. It's about, you know, sustaining and, you know, keeping your brand relevant. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of big breweries that, you know, that pivot takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
Those
boats are harder to turn around.
Yeah. And if you're producing 800,000 barrels of beer versus 8,000, that is a big boat. And that takes a lot of tugboats and a lot of, you know, concerted, you know, like effort from a lot of folks to get that thing turned around.
Well, one of the advantages you guys have, you have your own canning line here that you put in a few years ago.
Yeah.
Talk about how that has been like a positive thing, especially through this.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate that we own our own canning line. We have pretty much since the second year we opened. And we look at it from the perspective of, you know, we went from, you know, keg sales being about 60% of our business wholesale to about... less than 10% for the past few months, and having that canning line has been integral in kind of keeping up with production, you know, keeping beer flowing and being able to get beer to our customers and keep people employed. I think like all those, you can connect all those dots and say all those things are important. And I think a lot of times there's other smaller breweries that weren't able to do that. You know, I think the mobile canners were very busy trying to get around to all their customers. And, you know, we literally work the wheels off that thing. You know, we keep it in really good shape and we have a lot of spare parts on hand. And I think we succeeded in having all that stuff kind of come together for us. And, you know, we probably did, I think, double to triple our production of cans over the past 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us that use mobile canning lines services, we've taken a really hard look these past few months at what it takes to purchase our own and how things would have been different if we had our own.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do everything you can, but like you said, those mobile canning lines like Ironheart and Tap Hopper and those guys were they were booked out a lot longer than they usually are, and a lot less flexible on their dates because everybody needed to get their stuff into package.
Yeah, and I think canning lines, I think just kind of going down that vein right there, they're important. I think packaging your product's important, you know, as a brewery. And if you're a brewery that is thinking about getting into it, make sure you know kind of what your shelf stability is and look into all the quality control parameters that go with that. But I think to remain relevant in this day and age, if you're thinking about wholesale business, it's important to have the avenue of canning or bottling or crowlering your product and being able to get it to your customers, because not everyone's going to come to your tap room, and getting a little more reach, I think, is really what everyone really wants to do now.
I mean, we are friends. We've been friends for a while, and same with...
Loosely.
Well, we're acquaintances. Your wife and I are friends.
I'm joking.
Lynn and I are friends.
Wow.
I jest.
But, you know, Lynn put something out on Facebook. Actually, our buddy Joel with Four Saints had put out a thing on our the NC Brewers page saying, a couple weeks ago, we're going to reopen... Any advice is appreciated. And Lynn actually brought up a kind of her observation of how your customers have been since you guys have reopened, how generous people have continued to be for you guys. And we're seeing the same things.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. What do you attribute that to right now? I know I have my theories about what works for us at Mason Jar and everything I've put my efforts into to make sure people keep us in mind. But you guys also have like a really, really loyal following here in Clayton.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, we obviously want to cater to our customers, but we also, everyone that comes through these doors is our friend, you know, regardless if we know their name or don't know their name, and hopefully we do know their name. And I think a lot of it comes down to clear, concise communication about what our expectations are for our customers, as well as our customers telling us what their expectations are. We're very responsive on, you know, Facebook. If people ask us questions, questions up front, our staff is well educated to what the rules are, what people should and shouldn't do. And it's been a challenge. I mean, you have to have difficult conversations sometimes with people, and that's, you know, that's the minimum. You don't have a lot of that, but I think the majority of people are very happy that we're back open. Understand the parameters. Lynn is really good about putting all the rules of the road for Deep River on all our tables, so everyone's kids are not running around or jumping and running around and causing this virus to spread, let's say. But also all our tables are in places that are 6 feet apart,
sure.
So we don't so we're properly socially distancing. So I think we really, you know, it's all about the experience, right? And we're trying to make it safe for everybody. We want people to feel safe.
Well, when you mention kids running around, it's always a point of contention for all of us. You know,
yeah,
dealing with that
never ends.
Yeah.
What I've explained to people since the reopening is that, look, guys, it's a privilege that we're able to be open right now. Mm-hmm. And you need to treat it as a privilege to be able to go somewhere that's open. And if you're not following the rules, whether it's here or somewhere else, chances are, that privilege might be taken away.
Correct.
And we've all got to follow these rules to get through this.
Yeah. As of the recording of this podcast, there's some indication that we're actually not going to move to phase three.
I don't think we're going to be in phase three anytime soon.
On scheduled time. Yeah. So, but to your point, the reason why we're not going to be moving in that direction is because people might not be actually following the rules of what they need to do. But you mentioned those rules. I'm actually looking at one of the little laminated things here. Please do not move the tables. Limit of 6 people per table. Stay seated unless you're going to the bathroom. Be sure to practice social distancing. In the weeks that you've been doing this, how have people been regarding these rules?
I think everyone's been really cool and everyone's understanding. Everyone's we've had very very few incidents. I think we had a couple tables get moved one night, but it was just because it was a bigger group and they thought it was okay, and then we kind of explained it to them. They're like, we understand.
Okay.
People are very understanding, and I think message delivery at this point in time is very important, but it's also very important to be compassionate as a steward coming in here and being a...
Yeah.
So how does it work at Deep River. My experience going to breweries so far has been very, very limited. I've been out to Mason Jar, which is more, it's almost like table service, what you guys got going on right now.
It's pretty much table service.
I mean, people sit at the bar, but for the most part, if you're sitting at a table.
At selected places at the bar, but only one half of our bar is open.
Yeah. So at Mason Jar, it's table service. Went to the Hideout in Wake Forest for Lone Rider while our younger son was doing an hour of hockey practice. They won't let us in the factory because of the rules.
Wow.
So it's like, so Jacob has to show up already dressed completely.
That's how we used to do it in New York back in the day. I mean, some people came with their skates on and skated into the arena back then.
Oh, no, see, now that's the move. Unfortunately, in the middle of June.
I'm going way back there.
In the middle of June, you can't skate to the facility. So Jacob's got to leave the car with the skates and the guards on and then walk from the parking lot. And then we can't go in there because it's only. And then eventually, if we go into phase three, they'll allow one parent to go in with them, but we're not there yet. So I told Kelly, I said, well, could be worse. We could be at the other ice house where there's not a brewery right next door where we could hang out for an hour while he's doing this.
True.
And but at the Hideout, it was interesting in that you walk up to the bar, they got all the plexiglass, you order, you go to your table, and then they have the signs. Like, I see it right now. Like, there's a clean laminate. There's I'm using it laminate. They want you, when you're done, flip it, and then off you go, and then they'll come by and clean it and then make sure you're good to go.
It's the old Brazilian steakhouse thing, you know. If you want some more food, you know, you flip it over. Green light means you need
Please
more steak.
Bring me more meat.
Yeah.
But you mentioned phase three. Is that announcement coming today, Paul?
They're talking about today at 3 o'clock. He's going to announce one way or another. And we're hoping that actually, you know, something happens. I think the mayor of Charlotte has posted that he's he feels like everyone should wear face masks, and he thinks the governor, he's petitioning the governor to do so. And I think there's, there's both sides of that. I don't want to get too controversial here, but I think
there's nothing controversial about wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So I'll say it for you. When it comes to doing something like wearing a mask, I mean, you wear a seatbelt, right?
Right.
Why do you wear a seatbelt?
Yeah.
For your safety.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's the same boat. I don't see anybody going out in the streets can't tell me what to do when it comes to wearing a seatbelt or driving the speed limit for that matter. So I'll go ahead and I'll
speak
out
here. You don't drive through the rural counties very often, do you,
John? Yeah, that's a valid point, Wayne.
Yeah,
that's a valid point.
Valid.
But no, to get back to phase three, what would that mean for breweries? I know the focus of phase three is for like straight up bars. I know gyms have been a focal point of phase three. What would phase three mean for breweries that are already operating at like a 50% capacity?
I think for us, it just gives us a little more flexibility, but I think the far-reaching effects is all our customers, all our friends, our customers are back open again.
Yeah.
And they're able to open. And I look at it, it's more revenue for us. If we're selling more kegs, I get that. But it's more, these guys have been hurting for so long. They've been closed since early March.
Yeah.
I know people that are just, you know, doing whatever they can to survive. And it's sad. And, to me, it's like I feel like it's unfair. And I think there's a little bit of targeted animosity towards breweries for being able to open. But I don't necessarily, I think that's unfounded because I think we feel, you know, I feel strongly that all the bars should be open. All the gyms should be open as long as they can practice proper social distancing and do things the same way that we were told to do them. So
I think that's key because I walked into Crosstown in downtown Cary yesterday for the first time since they reopened. I had a lunch meeting there. So I got to see how they had spread things out. And, you know, you walk into the bar and you've usually got stools shoulder to shoulder to shoulder all the way around. And they were spread out. And I'm like, wow, this is a different scene, different feel from what I'm accustomed to coming in. But if that's what we got to do. And, you know, again, I live, work, and play in downtown Cary. So I've been anxiously awaiting Sidebar to reopen because that's one of my favorite hangouts. They're going to have to move a bunch of tables out. But they've got the great outside as well that where Pro's Epicurean and Bomb Brothers all are kind of sharing right now. But I agree. I think it's time.
I think we, you know, our big benefit for us is we own the building, the property, and we have a fenced-in parcel. So we can theoretically use all our nice grass area. And I think some people have been doing that when they come out here with their kids. And, you know, and we fully encourage that. We don't want people going off-premise with beer. But at the same time, if they're inside the confines of our fence, that's considered our property. And we're okay with that just for proper social distancing.
So speaking of beer,
let's
talk about some beer. For those who might be familiar with Deep River, they've seen the chocolate stout.
I'm sure that you have seen the Double D's Watermelon Lager. But what have you guys been messing around with here recently that people might not be aware about? What kind of direction have you explored, gone into, that kind of gets you all hyped up?
I mean, beer in general gets me all excited and tickly inside, but, you know, we definitely, we try to have, and we've always had that kind of stance that we take the broad brush approach to craft beer. We want to have a beer for everybody, and mm-hmm. we understand everyone doesn't like big, heady IPAs. You know, we know there's a finer appreciation for lagers. You know, what Mason Jar is doing, I mean, that's, you know, very, you know, we enjoy lagers just as much as we do IPAs. You know, we've been playing around with some hop, you know, kind of characteristics and hops and different, you know, hopping rates, and we've always done that. I mean, we kind of like to play with the science behind the beer. We also like barrel aging beer a bunch. We're mm-hmm. doing, you know, we do our collaboration without representation. That's our big barrel age imperial milk stout that's clocking in, you know, 12%+.
What do I say? 12.8 right 12.8? Now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's big. Next year, I mean, we did some variants of that. So we did mm-hmm. like four different flavors of that this past year. We're going to probably do the same. We're playing around with like aging beer in barrels and then transferring it to a different, I wouldn't say species, but flavor of barrel. So like, you know, we went from a straight weeded bourbon to a rye whiskey barrel to kind of see what that does to the beer, and then kept some of the barrels that just have the weeded bourbon characteristics to them. So we're actually doing an old fashioned beer coming up. So
go
we're
on.
So I'm a super big fan of old fashions, kind of the mixed drink, obviously, but we're going to try to impart the flavors into a English mild that we're going to do.
All right.
I call it English mild.
That's an interesting medium.
Yeah.
Because English milds are low ABV.
Well, low ABV. However, you know, we're still going to, you know, in low carbonation. So we're actually going to increase the carbonation. So I guess it's I wouldn't say a bastardized. I guess bastardized is the right word. English mild. I don't know if you need to bleep that out or not, but you know we're trying to
play with COVID rules. Anything goes, Paul.
Yeah, that guy's been furloughed. The button pusher's been furloughed.
So what are you doing with that though? Like, are you going to throw some in a barrel?
No, we have some barrel staves and some honeycomb that. Is going to part the flavors that we're looking for in that, and then obviously
okay.
All the other kind of accoutrements.
What are you doing with like cherry and orange or some kind of citrus? What's the plan?
We're actually adding, for the orange, we got an orange puree that we're really jazzed about. We're actually releasing that beer this weekend. Let me back up. We're not releasing that beer this weekend. We're releasing a beer that uses the tangerine/orange puree, and it's an orange creamsicle
okay.
pale ale that we're doing. We do a new beer every month right now. We've kind of skipped one, but other than that, like we do, it's called the Tributary mm-hmm. series. So every month we do a different beer, and it's called the Tributary series for us. We actually this month is a orange creamsicle pale ale that we do. We're pretty jazzed about it. We use orange puree as well as tangerine puree in mm-hmm. it, as well as some lactose, milk sugar, kind of give it that well-rounded feel, and a little bit of vanilla, obviously, to kind of give that whole impartment of, I don't know if you ever remember those orange
oh, yeah.
creamsicle pops back in the day, you know, on a hot day, there was nothing better. I wouldn't say, I mean, this is very similar in flavor to that, I'm not going to lie. And
My kids always, we go to Chubby's, or no, I'm sorry, to Chewy's, the Mexican joint
yeah.
in North Hills. They always give out one of those orange creamsicle push pops. That's why they go.
I saw a meme the other day and it said, I never realized as a kid we ate
ice cream out of a toilet paper
ice cream out
tube.
Of toilet paper rolls.
Is that really what those are?
I mean,
think about it.
If you think about it.
Just a little wax lining on the inside.
That's all it really has. That's all it really has in the grand scheme of things. Well, but that sounds yeah. it sounds delicious what you're making.
Recycled.
So.
Yeah, it's really good. We're excited about it. I mean, like, We've noticed, and I'm sure you guys have noticed, everyone likes something new. You mm-hmm. know, there's the folks that really want just to go to that one go-to all the time, like Mango Tango Foxtrot's our go-to mm-hmm. IPA for a lot of folks. But they want that new unique thing that, you know, the kishy cool thing that really just gets them all excited. And, you know, we offer that. And I think, again, we talk about pivoting. I mean, this is, we've been doing this for 2 years and it's been working for us. But I think being creative, being unique, having a good design team that can actually put together a label, when you give them a creative idea and they put together a label that works with the beer you're making, that also helps too.
Especially since, yeah, you guys have your own canning line and you're canning this Tributary series. You're canning most of your beers.
Yeah.
That's a lot of design time.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like we spend a lot of time doing that. Maybe not as much as we should sometimes, given direction, but you know, that's the good thing about having a good design crew. They kind of take it and run with it for us, and it's been really awesome for us to see the crazy designs they come up with and whatnot. So
it's really cool to see. I mean, you guys are like 6-7 years old now?
7 years old. We just celebrated during quarantine. We celebrated our 7-year anniversary. Unfortunately, that was April the 6th.
I don't remember that month.
I was probably drinking a lot of beer, too, so I don't remember either.
But when we were here, I believe it was August, their first August they were open. We came down here, and you had 4, maybe 5, maybe 6 beers.
Yeah, I think we had
3-4
fermenters, maybe. So
yeah. I mean, it's really cool to see how everything's grown. It's also really cool to see what beers have remained. You know, 4042 was your first beer that I remember seeing out in the market, downtown Raleigh and other places, and it's still around.
Right.
You know, right. Others change.
I get it. The Canes games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Others, you know, come and go, but it's awesome. Congrats on 7 years, first of all.
Let's clarify, we were here. We were even called 919 Beer Club.
No, the podcast
at the
wasn't
time.
Here, but no, we no. were.
But we weren't even called the 919
Beer Club. Was it Triangle Brew
Club.
Crew?
So Triangle Brew
time?
Crew. It was just a few of us.
It was about a dozen of us.
Paul, as he probably still does today, was back there working on something, building something when we got here, tying something together, I don't know, some piece of machinery he was working on. Do you still do that, Paul?
I am the maintenance mechanic.
Lynn was not a full-time employee here.
She was not a full-time employee.
No, she had her
job. You didn't own the building.
We're working her hard today. She's on the canning line.
I saw that, yeah. Yeah, that was, wow. That was the early days of...
It was, and it's awesome to see that. You were also one of our earliest guests when we started the podcast a couple years later.
It's because I'm so easygoing, that's why.
Yeah. No, it's been great to see, and to call you guys friends, it's been awesome to see everything that's happened. Now there's 24 taps here at your place, and you can fill them all with different beers, or at least variants.
I mean, you're
of different beers
you're
too.
Even messing around with things that look an awful lot like a seltzer.
Yeah, we're actually there's one in the tank right now.
Oh, okay. What yeast are you using for that? Are you using a champagne yeast?
No.
We'll talk off the air. I need help with that. Yeah,
give it in the recipe.
It's not for mason jar.
Yeah, I'd say if you're doing seltzer because you're not a sellout, you're never going to sell it because beer is more important. But sure. I think there's people that need gluten-free options,
yes.
And I think that's an option for us. It's an avenue. Do I ever think it's going to be the majority of our business? Absolutely not. But I think again, when I talk about a broad brush, we want to have everything. We want to have people come in here and. Because the one thing I heard from one lady one time was, she's like, my husband wants to go up there all the time, but I don't want to come up very often because you don't have anything that I can drink because I have a gluten intolerance. And I was like, well, hold that thought. So we have seltzer from Mighty Swell. I don't know if you ever heard of them. I mean, they're through Tryon. We distribute through Tryon, so we get it through there. And it's a really good seltzer. If I say so myself, and we're going to try to play around with our own. But again, not a big part
but
of it.
But it's nice for you to have an option.
Yeah, I was going to say options matter. Look, breweries in the United States have kind of taken on the life of what you would consider a traditional pub in the UK. It's a gathering space.
Yes.
It is a part of the community. And if you're going to be inclusive, it can't just be beer. You know,
correct.
So, I mean, I know some places will offer things that they don't do. I mean, it could be a wine bottle. It could be a seltzer like you're doing, ciders or whatever it is. So
if you're a brewery and you have a lot of premise sales, well, then why wouldn't you explore something like making your own seltzer?
Correct. Exactly. I mean, it's we're trying to be all inclusive on every front. So I think we look at it from the perspective of everybody, you know, needs to have something to drink. Soda, water, you know, regardless, seltzer, beer.
Yep. No, all that stuff makes sense. Any other things that people should be aware of before we move on to a very special presentation of another brewery's beer?
I would say, you know, you guys know we're open. I don't know. I'm going to botch this, but we're open Wednesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, we're not a late night gathering spot, but we're open from 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock actually now till all those days till 9 o'clock, and then
except Sunday.
Except Sunday, I'm sorry. So that's till 6 o'clock, and then Saturday one till 9.
Mm-hmm.
And again, come check us out. If you've never been out here, usually have a food truck, and you know we're
and you got space.
We got
lots of
that
space.
Matters. No, that matters for some people who might be a little wary of going places. Yeah. I mean, like my wife is not on board with going anywhere right now, especially if it's indoors. Even though the rules have indicated that you can, and I understand there's a lot of people like that. But once you sell somebody on, well, it's outside, you've got your space, then, you know, like I had mentioned Lone Rider and the Hideout, she enjoyed it because all the benches were far enough apart that you're just kind of off doing your own thing, and you have a very similar setup here. So if you're a little wary, but you still want to come out, your
Many
setup
of
is perfect.
Us enjoy just space in general anyway.
This is true. This
I'm
is
not
true.
A close talker.
I'm not,
I like
not an
space.
Elbow-to-elbow bar guy.
Yeah,
never
that's
have.
True. That's no, true. No. That's true. Very good point. Very good point. All right, so if you are interested, Deep River.
You need to be interested.
In Clayton, has plenty of outdoor space, and they got the little markers on the ground. They got plexiglass.
They always, like Paul said, they've always got good food trucks, and they
and
have
the food truck,
a ton of variety of beers to come check out.
So, before we leave.
Yeah. No, we're not leaving.
It's time.
I don't care if Paul's got a doctor's appointment.
Well, we'll get out of here before that.
I'm just going to make her a little bit.
No, no, we're almost
they,
start, we're
they
almost
made
almost
me start. Wait every time.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So a listener of ours, Steve Young, he's a big State fan, went out to New Sarum in Salisbury. And we've had New Sarum on the podcast.
Andy's a great guy.
And we've enjoyed their beer. I think they make good stuff. They, for the
And it's a cool place.
I've actually
so
never
really,
I've not
they
been
don't
there
have
yet.
A lot of outdoor. They've got some outdoor.
Yeah.
But super cool. Downtown Salisbury's pretty sweet little spot.
So they've been doing this for the last couple years for the Cheerwine Festival. If you're not familiar, Cheerwine is an NC product. So in Salisbury, and a lot of people ride hard for Cheerwine. That's why Krispy Kreme has done like a Cheerwine donut, that kind of stuff.
Makes some fantastic sauce for ribs too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So a couple
it's
years ago,
sweet for me.
A couple years ago,
heat it up.
Rib sauce is good.
A couple years ago, New Sarum, as a part of the Cheerwine Festival, made originally it was a Cheerwine Pilsner, but they've modified it the last couple years and they've done a Cheerwine Lager.
Because lagers and pilsners are different things.
Exactly.
Right?
You have to name them accordingly.
It's like a
Adam
lion and a tiger.
Exactly. So I just wanted to point that out because they felt the need to label them differently. Anyway. So, this year, with no Cheerwine Festival, they decided to can it and just release it.
It's a great
it,
looking can.
And they just released it to the masses. You had to go to the brewery. Once it sold out, it was gone. Well, they did that in May. Sold out.
Right.
Quick. And people were like, we need more. So they decided, fine. Cheerwine gave them more syrup, so they made more beer. And last week, they had another can release, and it was like, Steve said there were like 600 people outside or whatever it was. They had a lot of people coming through.
600 times 6 feet. Imagine the spacing for that line.
All the way to Greensboro with that line.
Yeah, man. It went quick,
it's
apparently.
Like the old days. Standing in line to get
standing
beer.
Standing in line to get a beer. So
Other than in a brewery, when was the last time you stood in line for a release? It's been a minute.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. So in my R2-D2 cooler, I have.
Did you buy that off of Wish?
No, this is actually like straight up Igloo.
Oh, really?
I have the accompanying C3PO.
How many cans do you have? Just
I've never
one?
Seen an Igloo cooler that small. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a Playmate. This is how you like used to take lunch to work back.
These are old lunch boxes.
Yeah, these are old lunch boxes. I got the C3PO that's a lot larger. I can fit this bad boy in the C3PO. So
it was more expensive though because it was gold.
It's not made of gold. Come on now, but yeah,
Goldschlager.
All right, shout out to Igloo.
All right, Joe.
So we got the Tierwine Lager. I'll let you guys
6%. Wayne, you have free hands. 6%. Just a little bit about our buddies down in Salisbury. New Sarum.
It's pretty.
They're not. Andy's not afraid to like throw something in a beer and just see what happens. So props to him for that. This is a nice looking pink beer.
Yeah,
looks like it might be made with cheer wine.
It could be.
If I didn't know it was made with cheer wine, I'd say
I got leave the can hibiscus, there so I can take a picture of it. Yeah. There,
rose hips, rose something hips. Something that's gonna give it that pinkish color.
Yeah. It might not be for everybody.
Nose, you can tell it's sweet. You can tell it's got syrup on it. It almost smells like a snow cone. Anything, Paul, feel free to add. We're not talking trash about other breweries. It's just, these are just objective thoughts.
Yeah, it's got great color. I mean, nice head. Nice and clear.
Oh, she's a sweet one.
Woo, that's
I'm
sweet.
Just thinking.
That is sweet.
It tastes like snow cone juice.
It really does.
I was
going to
say, you give me a Krispy Kreme cruller with that right there, and I'm in business.
You're keeping diabetes in business.
Yes, sir, man.
You got the good shape on after that. This. I will say this.
Yeah,
it's good in that. What you're trying
it's
to
fun.
Accomplish. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, it's fun.
What are you trying to accomplish? A cheerwine beer?
Sure.
Yeah, this is cheerwine beer.
Absolutely.
You can check that box, yeah.
Can sure. I? Cheers to New Sarum doing fun things.
Can I finish a six of these?
No.
No, I cannot.
I think you braise your ribs in these now. And absolutely. then you top it off with the cheerwine rib sauce.
That's a very good point. This actually would be a good...
Dip your cruller in it, too.
I would totally braising ribs in that, and that makes sense.
This is a fascinating combination.
It's fun. I don't know if I'd drink an entire one just because of the sweetness, and then that's not a knock on the
beer. I could do an entire one, but that's it.
It's a fun thing, and it's beautiful color.
Yeah, it's. I'm impressed with it. It's good. It's definitely sweet, though. And
definitely sweet.
Yes. Well, it's cheer wine.
And it's 6%. All that added sugar from that cheer wine syrup.
All that aspartame.
And while you're in Salisbury, Joe, what's the name of the Cuban place up there that's so good?
That would be...
It's fantastic.
That would be Mambo's.
Yes, it is really good. If you go to New Sarum, go to Mambo's. It's also fantastic.
Yeah, for those who are not aware, Mambo's is actually... It's a Cuban family. I remember when they actually first started, they were in a strip mall. Right off of I-40, and they eventually grew to a point where they are closer to downtown Salisbury in a standalone building. And if you want authentic Cuban food, I know I get that question a lot, like, where can I get good Cuban food around here? Oftentimes I just tell them you got to drive to Salisbury to get the best Cuban food in the state, and that would definitely be Mambo's. Paul, thanks for having us out.
Yes, thank you for coming out.
Thanks for giving us your beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was getting tired of Mason Jordan.
Drink more Limetown.
Yes, definitely drink more Limetown.
The cool thing about Limetown is that it's not, how do I say this? I don't mean it to be the wrong way. But it's got such tartness from the limes, it's almost like, whoa, geez, Wayne, right to the face. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's quite as tart as like a Berliner, but it's not just like drinking a regular easy drinking lager. Like, there's a lot of flavor in that beer.
Oh, it's definitely easy drinking though. I mean,
but it's not just like drinking a lager that doesn't have something added to it. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I'm picking up what you're putting
down. You guys put a lot of. You still use like a lot of fresh limes for that?
Yeah, we do lime juice, lime zest. You know, we don't use. That's all.
But you zest those limes.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's a painstaking beer.
It's a pain.
It's a labor of love.
But you know what? It's worth it. It's really good.
Yeah. No, we enjoy it. I mean, if we didn't enjoy it as much as we do, and you know, I think there's a certain level of craftsmanship that goes in any brewery. I mean, at some point, you know, it's. You know, there's pushing buttons here and there, but I think there's craftsmanship, there's art that goes into what we do, and I think, you know, as long as we don't lose sight of that, I mean, as craft breweries, I think we'll all make it, and we'll all be on the other side of this mess.
Well, Paul, thanks for having us out, and if you missed any of our other podcasts, they are available on the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. What are we doing next week?
We're heading downtown to the Warehouse District next week, going to Crank Arm.
Mm-hmm.
Might have some rickshaw races and then polish off some beer. Nice. We're not going to have rickshaw races.
No, but, please don't. Please don't.
But we haven't talked to those guys in a while. So.
I was going to say, it's been several years since
we're going to tell Adam to speak up into that mic.
We had, that was going to say, that was the last time we had Adam. That was several years ago from Crank Arm. All right, so we will be at Crank Arm next week. Check it out. We'll see you then.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.